Turn with me again to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 5. Let's hear the word of God. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Holy Father, we again ask your blessing on the word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive it. I thank you for it. Amen. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and while he's growing old, he will not depart. You know, what we don't have is a detailed history on how David was raised. There's no part of the book of Samuel that tells us that David got up every morning, had breakfast, and had devotions with his family. There's no part of the scriptures that tell us what David did day to day. But we know that he communed with God. He had a relationship with God. The kind that we would like to see not only in ourselves but developed in our children. That they hunger and thirst for the Almighty. Whatever place in his life that David found himself, ultimately his heart and his mind turned to God. Whatever the circumstance that was about him, his heart was turning to the Almighty. And in this psalm, as we've looked at over the weeks, David begins by declaring his faith in the Lord. That basically the totality of his life is in God's hands. That the Lord gives light. That the Lord gives enlightenment. And he does that because he is light. And not only is he light, but as David says, he is my light. The Lord is my light. And the Lord is my salvation. Salvation that he freely gives to whomever he wills. And that he is the strength of my life in the most strenuous of times. David recalled his experiences with God. And how that when he was in battle and he was in a difficult strait where the enemies of his own enemies were out to take his life. And how God stood against them on David's behalf. God frustrated the enemies of David, causing them to fall. David expressed the desire of his heart, the desire to live in sweet communion with God. One thing have I desired, he said. I want to live in the presence of the Almighty. I want to live in the temple of God. God honors that desire. And he did with David. David learned that God is true to his word. If God says it, we can make book on it. We can count on it. It is true. In the world that we live today, and especially as we've gone through an election season, the focus of many people is on peace and safety. it's a sad but true thing that people are often willing to compromise principles, ideas, ideals, any area of their life if they're compromising will mean peace for them. Or they will somehow feel that they are safer because they have yielded some part of their life. In our world today, there are many young people who have become so emotionally soft that the slightest thing offends them. It's not just young people, but we see a huge crop of young people that are falling into that category. If they hear a word and they perceive it to be harshly spoken, they all go to pieces. At one school, they saw a man's name written on a sidewalk in chalk, and they just started blubbering like babies. There is no stamina to them. There is no steadiness to them. And so what these colleges have had to do is establish what they call safe zones. Places where the little children can go, where no offensive words can be heard. Doesn't that warm your heart? Don't we all want to go to the safe zone where nobody will say anything evil? I don't want to be no mamby-pamby. And we don't want our children to be that way either. There is, like to so very many things, there is another side of the coin. Because some people take a different measure. And rather than being all soft and blubbery, they'd rather turn their homes into a virtual arsenal. Hey, if there's a firearm that's manufactured, they want to have it. You know, just open the case and there they are, man. Guns of any size, shape, and color. Maybe throw in a bow and arrow or two. We have security systems, and we have closed-circuit cameras to watch all the time because we want that assurance that we're safe, that we can be at peace. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said that when they say peace and safety, that's when sudden destruction comes upon them. Now that verse is referring to what's called the day of the Lord. But it's the word of God. It's true nonetheless. When people start to become safe within themselves, confident within themselves, that's usually the time when God makes them understand how impotent they really are. Think about these precautions that people take on either extreme is that they're designed to bring a measure of safety to the temporal realm alone. There's nothing about them that affects, that has an eternal effect. We're safe now. Our bodies are safe now. We ought to be a little more concerned about the safety of our souls. That's what endures. That's what goes on. David says in this verse, in a time of trouble, he shall hide me. What is the time of trouble? What is the time of trouble? Does it involve political or civil unrest? It can. It can't. Might the time of trouble manifest itself in a domestic framework? Families who are at war with each other for different things, for different reasons. Might that be considered a time of trouble? Maybe a time of trouble is realized when the doctor comes in and gives a diagnosis that in our natural selves causes us to dread. When the doctor tells us, you have this problem, and there's not a thing I can do about it. Is that a time of trouble? Or could we experience a time of trouble when we're confronted by our own sin nature? When we recognize for the moment that the strength that we need to fight the enemy doesn't seem to exist. Have you been there? Have you found yourself at a time in your life when the temptation has overwhelmed you, where you don't feel like you have the strength to fight, to endure, to resist? Could that not be considered a time of trouble? What will God do for us in the time of trouble? In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Spurgeon said, he shall give me the best of shelter in the worst of danger. When the storm all about me is raging, he shall hide me safely in his tent. Is there a place more safe than in the house of God? Our souls, those of you who are children of God, those of you who are regenerate, our souls are secure in Christ. His promise doesn't necessarily extend to the physical. Our bodies will at some point in this time perish. I can't help but recall so many stories of those who have been martyred for Christ. And the peacefulness with which they approached the impending doom. And the cynic could say, well, you know what? They weren't very secure, were they? That they weren't hidden in God's pavilion in that time. But they absolutely were. Because as we said so often, this shell don't last forever. We live inside of it. And understand this, no man can kill you. Only kill a body that's going to perish anyway for a time, for a season. God has us covered. Sometimes we become frustrated in our humanity And we say that to God that we know that we're in troubled times. But sometimes we don't know how to talk to God. Sometimes in those troubled times, we're at a loss for words. God has a remedy for that. In Romans 8, he prays for us. When we don't know what to say, the Spirit prays for us. It's, the Scripture says, with groanings that can't be uttered. God always knows the right words to say when we can't come up with something. He hides us, and he prays for us. And you know what? His prayers for us are not occasional. The writer of the Hebrews told us, Hebrews 7, he, meaning Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Why? Since he always lives to make intercession for them. You see, that's all the time. If you don't get anything else I've ever said in all of these years, get this. Jesus prays for you all the time. And he can do that. He doesn't have to say, well, today I'm going to pray for the folks at Shekinah Church. And tomorrow I'll pray for the folks at some other church. He prays for his church, each individual member of his church, all the time. I can't think of anybody else I'd rather have praying for me. I love you folks. And if you guys pray for me, I really appreciate it. But to have the Lord pray for me? Who could ask for anything more? In time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. In the secret place of his tabernacle. The tabernacle itself is a type of Christ. And under the old covenant, no one would dare enter into that secret place, the holiest place. No one would dare just go in there of their own accord. The high priest alone could enter into the Holy of Holies one time a year. And not without significant preparation. He didn't just, oh, it's time. Day of Atonement's here. I'm just going to go in. It didn't work that way. If anyone else had been so bold as to enter the Holy of Holies, they would die. God did not permit it. Yet this secret place is the very place that God hides his people. Think about it. If an enemy of God, even if a lackadaisical friend of God, had wandered into the Holy of Holies, they'd have died. God kept that place safe. He has chosen to hide his church in the secret place of his tabernacle. You can't be touched. You're safe in there. Nobody can get you. enemy would dare waltz into the presence of God. And then he says, he shall set me up upon a rock. This is not a little pebble. This is not parking lot slag. He sets me up on a giant boulder. It is immovable. It is God himself. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. And in 2 Samuel 22, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Rocks are kind of good. They're great places to hide behind if somebody's shooting at you. You ever watch them old westerns? I love the old westerns. I always thought it was stupid that somebody would be getting in a shootout in a bar in the first place, in a saloon, and decide, all right, I'm going to tip a table over because that's going to keep me safe from getting shot. No, I don't think so. Them bullets go through tables. But it gave you a little sense of safety, right? But if you were hiding behind a rock, they could shoot all day long and they'd just waste their bullets. He set me high upon a rock. He keeps me safe there. And our confidence and our trust, our reliance is in the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find ourselves in a troubled time. We should pray with the psalmist who said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Say, Lord, if I don't feel safe, feelings don't matter. Facts matter. We say, Lord, I'd still like to feel a little safe. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And you know what? He will. He will lead us. He will keep us secure. He will keep us safe in that rock. And we'll give him thanks. Let's pray.